You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Father, I thank you, Lord, that your word would be powerful in our lives. Not just be a book that's historical or life-changing in previous times with previous people, but God, let this book, let your words be life-changing to us today. Father, let it come alive to us. Let the history of how you have come to earth and brought your word to life be an inspiration and a revelation to us today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Well, I want to welcome you today. If it's your first time, or if you're just coming back, or if you're a regular member, we love you. We began this series called Here Comes the Sun last week. Here Comes the Sun, S-O-N. Because as I was really meditating on what this season is all about, I decided we need to talk about Jesus. We need to talk about what is this whole journey that we took to get to the place of a holy night on Christmas Eve. How did we get there? It's great that we can come together on Christmas Eve, but what brought us to this monumental event, this thing that split history in half, and now we have BC and AD, we have a whole separation of time, the man that changed the world more than anyone else, Jesus. What set the stage for Jesus to come? Last week we talked about a paradise lost. We talked about Adam. We saw how he fell. We saw how he forfeited his paradise. And we talked about not wanting to forfeit the paradise that God has for us. Today I want to talk about a moment of silence. A moment of silence. And how many have ever had a time period in your life when it's just like you weren't hearing anything from God? You could pray all you wanted to pray. You could hang around with other people that were hearing, but it just seems like you were not hearing what God was saying. Well, a moment of silence is, it's oftentimes something tragic has occurred. Something has been lost. Someone has been lost. And so I want to talk about this moment. It's a historic moment. It's a biblical moment, but it's something that happens in between the pages. The silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're talking about 400 years. Not just a day, not just a week, not just a month, not just a single year, but 400 years. What happened between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Things just went dark. The lights just went off. No prophets for 400 years. No new revelation for 400 years. What happened? We have a backdrop for Jesus' entry into the world. Before Mary and Joseph, before the shepherds, we have this moment of silence. Let me set this up with Galatians 4:4. You can go there with me. Galatians 4:4. This is the King James Version, and it says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." When the fullness of time has come. How many in here just love to wait? You just, man, I love to wait. I don't like to wait. I remember waiting for my driver's license. Anybody remember waiting for your driver's license? Just waiting and waiting, and there's nothing you can do about it because it's a waiting game. You can want it. You can pray for it. You can travail. You can fast. It's held up in time. This little plastic card to an elite club. The beginning steps of adulthood. This thing, this sense of pride, this thing of wanting to say, what's in your wallet? Before it was a credit card, it was a driver's license. I'm not talking about the learner's permit. That's the consolation prize. I'm talking about the real thing. And so we all waited. We waited. But there is a right time. There is a right age. There's a right thing. And some people might ask, well, why didn't Jesus come sooner? Some people might say, why didn't Jesus come later? There is a right season. And Galatians says, in the fullness of time. Talking about the fact there is a right time, there is an appropriate time, there's an appointed time for Jesus to come. Not just any time, but in the time according to God's plan. Turn to somebody and say, kingdom set up. I want to tell you today that there's a kingdom set up. There was a kingdom set up that happened to bring about the rule of Jesus. And there's a kingdom set up happening in your life right now if you receive it. Because God has a plan. And it's right on time. It's in the fullness of time. And even sometimes when you got to wait for the right time, as long as you stay in position, stay obedient, it's going to come on time. But let's talk about this kingdom setup. Because if a king is going to be born, preparations have to be made. A king just can't be born any kind of way. And a lot of times when great kings came into power, there was actually a perfect storm circumstantially that happened. So this thing was at play, that thing was at play. There was either a vacuum of power or it was a perfect setup for this particular king to come into place. And then we have this great king that sits on a throne. This is what God did with Jesus. For there to be a king, there has to be a kingdom. Throughout history, we can look and we see kingdoms rise, kingdoms fall. We know in the Bible, God decides to work with the family. There's Abraham, there's Isaac, there's Jacob. Jacob becomes Israel. Israel becomes 12 tribes. The 12 tribes become a nation. The nation becomes a kingdom. We're starting to see the beginning foundation being laid for Jesus coming. There's some civil warfare that happens, and now you have two kingdoms, Israel and you have Judah. And eventually both kingdoms get so far away from God, they become so wicked that they're both taken into captivity in the span between the 6th and the 8th century BC. Again, God is seeking to send a king, but to whom is he going to send it? His people, his foundation, are in captivity. We want to have this holy night experience, but we don't have the right setup yet. I think sometimes we get anxious, like you said. Don't be anxious for anything. That's what Paul said. A lot of times we get anxious, we get antsy, we want to walk into our destiny right now. But maybe God is saying it's not the fullness of time yet for some of these things that I've destined. Some of the things that I've predestined for you. Maybe there are some things that need to take place first before you're ready to walk into your destiny. And so they get taken off, and Assyria takes Israel into captivity. The Babylonians take Judah into captivity. The two kingdoms are taken into captivity. Babylon overtakes Assyria, so Babylon basically is now the world power. But this is not a surprise to God. The Persians take over the Babylonian Empire. This is not a surprise to God. Actually, while in captivity, there was a prophet, Daniel. And Daniel had some insights from God that would help lead us and guide us through this 400 years, this intertestamental period, to help us see how God was going to set up his kingdom. Look at somebody and say, you have to read the signs. You have to read the signs. So Daniel, he has a dream in Daniel 7. He also interprets the dream of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 2. And both dreams are talking about kingdoms. God is doing something with kingdoms. How many know that God is establishing his kingdom here? It's a kingdom thing. If you listen, if you read the book of Matthew, Matthew talks very much from a kingdom perspective. This is what God is doing. This is what God is doing. So if you'll let me read Daniel 2 to you, a little portion of Daniel 2. You can flip there. Daniel 2. We'll start here in verse 31. And he's interpreting the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. But it says, "In your vision, your majesty, you saw standing before you a huge, shining statue of a man. It was a frightening sight. The head of the statue was made of fine gold. Its chest and arms were silver. Its belly and thighs were bronze. Its legs were iron, and its feet were a combination of iron and baked clay. As you watched, a rock was cut from the mountain, not by human hands. It struck the feet of iron and clay, smashing them to bits, and the whole statue was crushed into small pieces of iron, clay, bronze, silver, and gold. Then the wind blew them away without a trace, like chaff on the threshing floor. But the rock that knocked the statue down became a great mountain that covered the whole earth." So Daniel saw some things in this, and as he began to interpret this dream, God was talking about the kingdoms to come. Daniel shows here that there's going to be four kingdoms, and then there's going to be a fifth kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. It's no surprise who the rock is. Amen. The rock is Jesus, and his kingdom is the one that smashes away everything that came before. But there's an importance for these four kingdoms. The four kingdoms being, number one, the Babylonians, the head of gold. Number two, the breast and the arms of silver, the Medo-Persian Empire. The third, the Greeks, which was the bronze kingdom. And the fourth, the iron, was the Romans, the iron with the clay. This was the perfect setup for Jesus. This is what set us up. And let me tell you how it set us up. Because a lot of times we look, and we can look from the outside and say, what in the world is God doing in my life? Right. What? It doesn't make sense to me. I feel held captive in this situation. I feel persecuted in that situation. I feel like I'm not able to be who I need to be in this situation. And maybe it's, I feel held back in this circumstance. The people of God experience all these things, but this is what the Babylonian kingdom did. They brought judgment against wickedness. The people of God had become so wicked that God had to raise up Babylon to bring justice, not just to Israel and Judah, but Edom and Syria and all the surrounding areas had fallen into such wickedness that through the Babylonians, God brought judgment against wickedness. Number two, the Medo-Persian Empire. It brought freedom to the exiles. During the reign of the Persians, guess what happened? The wall was built. The temple was rebuilt. And also, God began to establish and put in position his people. There was Queen Esther. There was Mordecai, who became kind of like a reflection of what Joseph was. He became a right-hand man.
Right.
Nehemiah. People were put in key positions and freedom was brought. Number three, the Greek kingdom. Isn't this funny that you can read the Bible and it's so interesting when you begin to compare that with world history and you see the Greek empire that Daniel was talking about was Alexander the Great. And so we see how the Greek people brought their culture and they brought their language more importantly. And they unified language across the known world. And Greek was what the majority of the New Testament was written in. It provided a language, a vocabulary for the Word of God and for the New Covenant. For the gospel message to go forth. And the fourth, the Roman kingdom, they built roads, commerce, and stability so that the message of Jesus could travel the known world. Without ease of access, without order, and even though there was a lot of persecution under the Roman Empire, there was also with our first missionary, our first major missionary, Paul, What happens is he's able, as a Roman citizen, to be able to have mobility and be able to travel far and wide throughout the known world to spread the good news, to spread the kingdom message. So Daniel gives us a roadmap. Even though the lights are out, the lights are about to turn off, it's going to get really quiet. God says, here's what's going to happen. So even though in your life you may have seasons when you don't hear God, you can look back at what God has said prophetically about the future. You can look at what God has said prophetically about your life. Here's the good news that I have for you. God has a redemptive plan for your life, even when it seems like he's not speaking. Even when it seems like you can't hear him, God is not giving up on you. God has a redemptive plan. In the quiet moments, it's difficult to hear him. I love the lyric of a Brooke Frazier song that says, sometimes when we can't hear him, it helps us learn how to be faithful. Sometimes there's things that we can't learn when everybody's talking. When God is easy to hear, there's certain lessons that we don't learn. But some lessons we learn in silence. Whenever I've gone through dry seasons and I couldn't hear God so well, I would go back to the last thing that I know that God said. What was the last thing that I know that God said? Stay faithful to the last word that God said to you. Can I encourage you? Don't make stuff up. Don't play a guessing game with your life, with making decisions and making directional plans for your life. Wait until God gives you the next direction. Stay obedient to the last word. Can I give you that today? Stay obedient to the last word you received. And you know what? You can put your faith and confidence in God that, you know what? Until God changes the direction, stick with the direction you last had. And some of the most confusing times in my life, what I banked on, what I anchored on, what I ruddered my life with, was the fact that God had spoken to me in previous seasons. So even though it was confusing in the current season, I could look back upon the previous season and say, this is what God said. This is what God has done. This is what God has directed me to do. And so I stay faithful, even if I'm in the midst of pain, even in the midst of confusion, even if I'm in the midst of silence, I can say, I'm going to stay faithful to the last word God gave me. What was the problem? What caused these 400 years of silence in the first place? Why were no prophets speaking? Disobedience. Say it with me. Disobedience. The people of God refused to obey. God gave them chance after chance, warning after warning, but still the people turned away from him, worshipped other things, did what they felt was good, did what they seemed was the right decision to them. Do you know how to completely mess up what God is doing in your life? Disobedience. Disobedience. Do what the people did 400 years of silence. They didn't obey God. They did whatever felt good to them. They did what seem to make sense in the moment. And this is the reason why the world needs what you and I have. Because this is the existence that they're living in. They're living in a moment of silence, oftentimes, because they've developed a philosophy that lets them do whatever they want. Even the ones that call themselves religious have modified the religion to fit their desires. This is not different from what was going on back then. It may be superficially different, but it's fundamentally the same. That type of outlook, that type of philosophy, that type of religion always leads to silence. Can I tell you, since the beginning, since the creation, God has been wanting to talk to man. God wants to talk to us. But if we turn away, if we forsake and we pursue other things, let me tell you, God just, he just steps back and he gives us a moment. He says, I'll let you try that for a season. God is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself upon anybody. So if we decide we want to do it our way, we want to do what seems right to us, God says, you know what? After I've tried to tell you and I've tried to tell you, you know what? I'm going to step back and I'm going to let you try to do it the way you want to do it. I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in a moment of silence. I'm interested in a relationship of communication. Without his guidance, let me tell you, church, we're lost without his guidance. And we live in a world where there's so many voices, there's so much noise, there's so many things being said, so many philosophies, so many religions, and so many altered religions and in-between things, and people taking something from this religion and something from that religion and adding a swirl of this philosophy and just saying, hey, I'm going to do what seems right. Can I tell you, it gets us into trouble. For 400 years, no new words, no guidance, no encouragement. The people were lost. There was a nation out of control. Israel and Judah's kings forsook the covenant. There was a deterioration of society into wickedness. The people of God were taken captive. But even when the exiles were released, they failed to get it right. They reestablished the Jewish culture. They rebuilt the cities and the walls, but they never completely came back to God. Isn't that what happens sometimes in our lives? We rebuild the trappings of religion or the trappings of looking spiritual. But there's some stuff that is really the meat of what we need to be doing in our lives. We're missing that. We're missing the communion with God, or we're missing some key ingredient to our faith. So what we're left with is just, we've built the natural part out and it looks spiritual. What about rebuilding what we need to with God? So there were dark times, quiet times, 400 years of it. How could the former greatness of God's people be restored, as it was said in prophecy, or even surpassed in such a grim environment? How could God's kingdom be established? How could there be a ruler on the seat of David again? One that was like David, that no enemy could stand against him. How could God do that again with the people in disobedience, with the moment of silence, with the people in darkness? Will you bow your heads with me? There's a lot of questions that we have today, God, oftentimes with our lives. And we have silent moments, silent seasons, dry times in our lives when it feels like we're just not hearing you. God, I thank you for, Lord, opening up our eyes, letting something new, something powerful happen in us. Maybe you're experiencing some silence in your life. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's some secret going on that nobody knows about. Maybe it's unfaithfulness. Maybe it's selfishness. Maybe you've just gotten too busy for God. Whatever it is, I want to pray for you today. If that's you and I'm talking to you today, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you. There's these moments that are just silent. I see that. Say, it's just been silent. I'm not hearing the way I want to hear. I see that. I want to pray with you. God, I thank you, Lord, that you would touch our ears. God, give us ears to hear you. God, give us eyes to see what you're doing from the very biggest to the very smallest aspect of our life and our future. God, let our hearts be so open to what you're doing, God, that we see the nuances of what you're doing in our life, God. Thank you that you would restore that line of communication, God. And even in those moments of silence, God, if there's silence, Lord, let us put our faith in you, God, that these moments of silence are but a moment and not a lifetime. I thank you, Father, for speaking the word, for speaking your truth, for shattering those glass ceilings, for shattering those limitations, those walls that are between us and you. If it's a sin thing, God, we repent. Father, if it's a disobedience thing, God, help us to get things in the right direction. If it's a faithfulness thing or if it's a selfish thing, God, help us to change that. If we've been too busy for you, God, God, let us change our calendar. Let us say yes to you. Let us say yes to you.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.